Welcome to the Creating Eden podcast. I am your host, Eden Elizabeth. This podcast is a space of storytelling, truth-telling, raw and honest expression. Vulnerability is not only welcomed here, but it is celebrated. In this space, we honor the messy, the real, the authentic, the too much, and everything else that makes us human. Here, you get to witness real-time emotional and energetic processes that give you a peek into my own personal practice and the work that I do with my one-to-one private mentorship clients. Thank you for being here, for witnessing, and receiving. On Saturday, 2 days ago, it's Monday today as I record this, on Saturday, I woke up so sick. In quotation, sick. Immune system upgrade. I woke up with symptoms of not being able to fully take a deep breath. I couldn't breathe to the top of my lungs. I would like get maybe 2/3 of the way full and then it would burn and I would just start dry coughing. And then I had really intense body aches. And so immediately I was like, what the fuck? What's happening? Why can't I breathe properly? What's wrong with me? Am I sick? Do I have COVID? Do I have all these things? Like, just went into a little bit of a spiral. And then I was like, oh my God, I never get sick. Why am I sick? But for me, whenever I get quotations sick, whenever I have any kind of discomfort or dis-ease present itself in my body, I go to like, what am I not feeling? I immediately go to my energy. I immediately go to my emotions because that is how I live my life. The physical manifestations of our body, they come from our energetic and emotional health, I believe. I'm just going to take a sip of water. Okay. So immediately I'm like, oh, I need to look up German new medicine. What does it mean when I can't breathe fully? What is the conflict of the lungs? And I looked up and it was something about fear of death conflict. And I was like, okay, that's interesting because I'm not really feeling that. I'm like, yeah, okay. When I couldn't breathe properly, I was like, oh my God, am I going to die? So I guess that could make sense, but it didn't hit me. You know, I didn't feel it in the depth of my being. So I was just like, okay, spent the day resting. God bless, goddess bless, spirit bless my husband-to-be. We're getting legally married in a couple of days. God bless him for, yeah, just being like, you do what you need to do. You rest. I will take care of baby. Because I could hardly even sit up. Like, I felt so ill. And then I also had this like, oh man, did I fuck up? Like, was I not taking care of myself properly? Like, oh no, what if my baby gets sick? Can I hold that if she does get sick? And, yeah, spent the day just resting. And, at one point in the day, I was like, I can't live like this. I can't live like this anymore. This is too much. It's too much. And I took a ibuprofen. And like, people probably take ibuprofen all the time. But for me, I don't even remember the last time I took ibuprofen. So I took it and it eased my body aches, which I'm really grateful for because then I could at least be a little bit more present with my daughter still while resting. But yeah, and then I slept and I woke up the next day and my body aches were lessened, but I still felt like I couldn't breathe properly. And my throat then was hurting from coughing so much as well. So I started Inner Mastery, which I've talked about on the podcast before. I started round two. It was our first call on Sunday, yesterday. And so I quickly like finished watching the very last video of module one. And it invited me to create a more sustainable practice for myself in this season of my life. So I I've been playing victim to motherhood. I have been like, oh no, I can't sit at my altar and do my spiritual practices, my energy clearing practices, whatever. I can't do that because it takes too long and I can't be away from my baby and my partner is working. Like, it's just not working. I'm a mother. I just can't. And so I have been doing all or nothing. Instead of being like, hey, what would actually be sustainable for me? How can I incorporate my practice into my day in a way that actually works right now and it's actually accessible? Instead of sitting down at my altar for an hour and a half, 2 hours, as I normally would, and pulling cards and meditating, doing visualizations, clearing my energy, moving my body, you know, journaling and saying affirmations and doing mirror work. Like, instead of doing that, why do I feel like I can do nothing? So the change that I've made is to journal on the Notion app on my phone or my computer. And you might be like, okay, big deal. I do that all the time. But for me, I was like, oh no, I have to journal on pen and paper because that's more powerful for the body and it makes more sense and blah, blah, blah. I'm cheating if I don't use a fucking pen and paper, like what the hell? So that's the practice that I sat to do. And I've been feeling really, really messy in my internal world. I've been feeling really like disconnected and messy and just like I have no clarity, which makes sense because I haven't been doing my normal practice. Of course I'm going to feel messy when I'm used to feeling so much more clear and clean. Even like not shaving my head. Like, shaving my head is such a big energy clearing practice for me, which I'm going to do after I finish this podcast. But pretty much the state of my hair, the length of my hair, is a solid representation for how messy my inner world is. The less hair I have, the more clean my energy field is, which sounds hilarious, but is so true. So I sat down just to get curious about like, why do I feel so messy? And then it revealed itself to me in my notes app or Notion app on my phone, journaling away, typing away, that, yeah, I haven't been doing my practice and I've been doing this all or nothing, playing victim to motherhood kind of energy. And I'm like, okay, well, how can I make this more accessible for myself? What I'm doing right now, I can sit while I'm nursing my baby and I can journal. I'm usually reading my Kindle or scrolling on Instagram anyways, so why don't I do something that's actually going to be more supportive for me? Cool. And since making that decision, oh my God, I feel so much better because I have an accessible way to ground in, to tap into my own energy and to feel what I'm feeling and to witness it. So the benefits that were very immediate to journaling in my phone instead of writing is I don't get hand cramps and my hand doesn't get tired. So I don't try to like cut corners and I just write down my thoughts as they come. The second thing is I can type so much faster than I can write with my hand. So I don't lose my train of thought while I'm trying to finish a sentence. I'm just like, go, 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 go. So not only am I writing so much more, I'm writing so much more detailed and I'm writing my thoughts as they come, which is also not giving me time to judge my thought process as much as I would if I was writing with pen and paper. So it feels so good. And like, this is the most simple swap. And part of me is like, why the fuck didn't I think of this sooner? But also, I'm doing it now, so it doesn't matter. So as I was journaling, I was like, okay, I feel heavy. After I got through all of that, I was like, I still feel heavy. Like, what is here that I'm not feeling? And I'm going to read you, I'm going to read you what I wrote. Just a little section of what I wrote. So I think dropping in consistently as the radical witness feels really great instead of having a goal, because I feel like that's what comes up for me always. I need to be feeling something other than what I'm feeling, which of course is not true, but that's what I'm pushing myself into. And it's always why I feel like I'm avoiding this process. The process being sitting and writing and feeling. So I continued writing and I said, I also want to sit with why I'm feeling this tightness in my lungs. And while yes, the GNM approach did resonate a bit, I was with where I was feeling fear around not being able to breathe properly. I just feel like there's something different. I Googled the lung meridian and what emotions are stored there. So I'm going to give you a little context after. Also connected to the large intestines. And what's stored there is grief, sadness, and detachment, which makes so much sense. I feel so scared, not even scared, but just avoidant of feeling the depth of my grief when it comes to motherhood and watching my daughter grow. I feel like I haven't fully allowed myself to feel the depths of my grief that is actually wanting to move through my body, and I don't know why I'm avoiding it. So, backstory. For like 3 weeks, my Healy, which is an energy, like quantum healing frequency device that works with the quantum field and our energy, our personal auric fields and energy fields to help us resonate at a certain frequency. So I have been getting, so there's a coaching or there's an analysis app that will analyze your energy field and tell you which programs resonate the most with what you need in the moment. And for the last like 3 weeks, it kept telling me the number one thing was the lung meridian program. And this whole time I was just like, I can breathe fine. There's nothing wrong with my lungs. I am hilarious. And I ran it a couple of times because I was like, okay, like I trust this thing, I guess. But I was really skeptical because I was like, really? Like I can breathe fine. And it keeps telling me. But clearly there was something that I wasn't seeing and something I wasn't feeling. And that turned out to be my grief. So as I was running yesterday, as I was running the lung meridian program, so I ran it all day on Saturday when I was sick. And then I ran it again on Sunday, and I cannot even express to you how much I thought it was a lie that women had shared their experience with Healy and how it like healed their physical symptoms of something immediately. And I was so skeptical. I was like, there's no fucking way. Like, that's just not real. That just doesn't happen. Your body needs time to heal. Oh my God, if it weren't for my own experience, I probably still would be skeptical. I would still be skeptical, but now I'm like, I believe you. Hands down, 110%, I believe you, because I've felt it and experienced it in my own body. So as I'm journaling, I Google, I see the lung meridian, and then I'm like, oh my God, it's grief. And then I'm like, oh my God, I do feel grief. Because for the last few weeks, every time I have looked at my daughter and felt the overwhelming grief of her growing and doing new things and exploring new ways of like making sounds and moving her body and just like seeing her come even more alive. Oh my God, my heart, like it just breaks my heart because she's never going to be this small again. She's never going to be this version of herself again. And I so badly just want to be with her and stare at her and watch her for every single second of the day because this time is so precious, but I can't. Unless that's all I do and I'm not even a human anymore, like I can't. I'm not going to. So there's so much grief and I feel like I've been... Or not even I feel like, I know that I've just been fucking slamming the door shut on that grief. And so this whole time, my Healy was trying to be like, hey, your heart, your lungs, like feel, Just open yourself to feel. And because I ignored it and ignored it and ignored it, not purposely, but just because of a lack of understanding, a lack of awareness around what the lung meridian actually was. Now I'm like, fuck, I'm going to Google all the meridians so I know what they're all talking about. But yeah, I was like, immediately just like, yep, it's my grief. Yeah, I have been closing the door. And so as I continued to process, I realized that I have been invalidating my grief. And that was the block that I had that was limiting me from feeling and expressing the depths of my grief. I feel like my grief, or I felt like my grief is not valid because it's not about death. And that is the connection that I made. Like, oh, I'm only allowed to grieve when somebody has died, because that's the like biggest, in my opinion, like that's the hardest grief to hold. So if I'm grieving something and like I'm grieving my baby growing up, like how grateful should I be? I should be grateful that my baby is thriving and healthy and growing, right? So just pretty much, yeah, like not letting myself feel, invalidating my own emotion. So after I got clear on that and I validated my grief, and I was said like, my grief is real and it is valid because it is here and I can feel it. So I allowed myself to feel it. And I felt such a huge resistance towards allowing myself to pour, because that's what it felt. It felt like the floodgates opened and it was just pouring out of me. And I was really scared to be witnessed in it by my partner as well. I was like, oh man, he's gonna know that I'm feeling this grief. And like, he wants to know, he wants to hold me, he wants to love me, he wants to witness me. That's why he's with me. Not just why, but those are big reasons why he's with me, because he wants to be there. So I was just like, this man has seen me give birth. He literally watched my butthole spread as wide as it's ever spread. In my entire fucking life, he watched it. His face was inches away from that shit. He can hold me in my grief. I can let my grief be seen by him. And that's... Oh, I'm hilarious sometimes. So I did. I let him witness, and I started crying. I started sobbing in his arms, and I cried so loud that the baby woke up from her nap, and so he went to tend to her so I could continue crying. And I just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed into my elephant pillow that my sister gave me, that has taken more tears than I could even count. And I let the grief out, and it felt devastating and also so beautiful and so freeing. So freeing. And guess what? As soon as I was done crying, I could fully breathe. I was not feeling any burning in my lungs. I was not feeling any lingering body aches. I was fully back to normal. And I know that sounds like a lie, but I'm still in awe. I'm still in shock. I'm just blown away. I'm like, oh shit. Like, this shit is real. This shit works. Energy does not lie. And it manifests in our physical bodies. So yeah, there I was thinking like, oh my God, do I have the flu? Do I have COVID? What do I have? Why am I sick? And it's like, girl, you just got to feel your grief. You want to breathe better? Feel your grief. Let yourself cry. Sob into your pillow. Ugh. And part of my fear, which I feel like so many people can resonate with this, part of my fear in opening those floodgates, sorry, I use my hands and sometimes I hit the microphone. I don't know if you just heard that, but opening the floodgates is that I'm scared that they'll never be able to close. And when I sat with that fear, I was like, okay, and what if they don't? What if they don't close? What if I stay a blubbering mess for the rest of my life, for the rest of my time as mother, which is forever? What if? Can I live like that? I mean, it would kind of be hard, but yeah, I could. So I was like, okay, open, 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 open. And so I did, and it felt so good to open. And I want to share with you my altar setup right now, because I'm sat in front of my altar, or I'm sat at my altar, and I still have my maiden and mother statues on either side. So on the maiden side is the statue of a pregnant woman. It's on my left hand side. I have this woven kind of dream catcher-esque wooden shape that looks like a yoni, and it's got a hole in the middle and these beads around the hole. And it looks like a yoni opening. It looks like the cervix dilating. I also have a sunstone carving of a yoni as well. I also have the beads from my blessing way that hold the blessings for my baby. And then I have this candle holder, actually, that my mom made me, which is also, it's a resin candle holder with dried flowers and little sunstones at the base. And instead of a candle on it, I have my selenite sphere. And that looks like baby's head out of my yoni and like crowning, not even crowning, but like head emerged. And then I have my motherwort tincture. So this is telling a story, okay? Story of birth. And then on the other side, I see my mother statue, which is a woman holding her baby to her chest, the way that I hold my baby every single day. And then I have two different rose quartz crystals. I have my rose quartz sphere and my rose quartz tower. And then I have my flower agate heart that was a gift from my own mother and my sister, who is also a mother. And then I have my wild rose tincture. And then I have the bowl that holds my daughter's curing placenta. And I have placenta prints on both sides. So I was wondering, I could look at the, I could look at the maiden birth side. I could look at the birth side and see the story of like pregnancy, yoni carving, yoni, like dream catcher, cervix opening, head out of the yoni, mother, motherwort. There's the transition fully into mother. And then over there, I was like, why do I have all this rose quartz and all this love? All this, you know, it's like, this is heart energy and rose and, you know, pink. And I just wasn't really getting it. Like, it's right in front of my fucking face. Like, this has been holding me and supporting me, even though I haven't even consciously known it. And I've been taking my wild rose tincture intuitively as well. So now that I've sat and felt that grief, that pent up grief, because it was pent up grief, I'm like, oh, and this is what I love about like intuitively setting up my altar, is like, this is not intentional at all. I just let my intuition put things where I want to put them, and they always tell a story afterwards. Any crystal grid or altar that I make, any flower altar that I make, I don't know what I'm making. I show up with whatever energy I'm in and it unfolds for me. It makes itself known to me after it's complete. And so sitting here, I'm like, oh my God, of course I need the rose quartz. Of course I need the flower agate heart. I mean, I don't need, but of course these things are going to support me. Of course this wild rose tincture is going to support me right now because I'm swimming in such deep waters of grief. And it's really beautiful that I can show up to this podcast in the energy that I'm in now, where I'm not overflowing with grief anymore. I'm letting it, this is my conscious decision, I'm letting it flow when it comes up, because that's what I do with every single other emotion. I don't know if you can hear me swallowing. That might be like, ooh, ASMR, or it might be like, I fucking hate that. So if you're part of the I fucking hate that and you can hear it, I'm sorry. I apologize. I know. Anyways. I love the way that I'm showing up to this space because I've felt the overwhelming grief, and now I can sit with whatever is present as it comes. And yesterday, last night, we had our friends over for dinner, and my daughter was on her tummy doing her tummy time, and we have like this little sushi roll stuffy that my partner's parents got her, and we put it in front of her, and she was like, she was trying to talk to it. And I was like, oh my God, she's talking to her friend, and just hearing her go, ooh, ooh, ooh. I'm just like, oh my God, she's trying to have a conversation. Like, she's actually trying. And I felt the grief start to come up of like, oh my God, I love her so much that it hurts. And like, oh my God, it just like rips my fucking heart wide open. To just watch her grow. And I felt it come up and I was like, oh man, there's other people here now too. Do I let myself be seen? And I was like, fuck it. Yeah, I'm gonna cry. And I cried and I hugged Florian and he hugged me and our other friends were hugging and we were all just silently looking at her while I cried. And it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. So now I'm sitting and I'm like, oh my God, like, why did I resist that? But this grief is so new to me. This mother's love is so new to me. I am 12 weeks postpartum as I record this podcast. I am still so fresh. So, so fresh. Like, yeah, I'm not in my first 40 days, but I'm still in the fourth trimester. Oh. I don't know if you can hear my daughter crying, but she's crying, but it's still so fresh. And with anything new, for me at least, it can be scary. The unknown can be scary, and there is resistance for me. And so I had resistance. I had so much resistance that it had to manifest in my physical body for me to actually listen. And I'm so grateful that I already had and have the understanding that whatever I don't feel is going to find another way to come out of my body, and it's going to be as illness or disease. I fully believe that with my entire being, and now even more so. But it's new. And I thought that I knew the depth of love. The depth that love could go to, I thought I knew it. But I didn't. Like, being a mother and loving my baby and looking at her and seeing her, like, she rolled over for the first time today. And I cried. I let myself cry. I'm so proud of her. But, like, seeing her do new things for the first time and become more conscious and coherent and aware and alive and present to her surroundings, like interacting. Oh, it's magic. And I never, like, I mentally knew that that kind of love was possible, I guess, but I never somatically experienced it until now being a mother. So of course it doesn't feel quite safe yet because it still feels new, and I need to expand my nervous system to now hold the grief and the love of motherhood. And grief and love are two sides of the same coin. You cannot have one without the other, I don't think. When we truly love someone or something, there will be grief. Whether they leave, they die, we die, relationship changes, something breaks, or whatever, like, grief and love are woven, they're interwoven. And of course, I'm going to feel more grief when I'm feeling more love, especially when it's love for my baby who's changing and growing so rapidly, and every single version of her that she is in is leaving so quickly as she is rebirthing and discovering all of these new layers as she's growing. Like, of course, there's going to be grief. And it's going to be big. If I'm fully here and I fully let myself feel it, it's going to be big. And it was. But it does feel so good. It does feel so good to actually feel it and to feel my heart open. Even like my heart is so much more open than I ever thought it was capable of being opened. And like her little, oh, I can hear her little noises right now. I'm like, she tries to interact with me now. And then I'm like, oh my God, I'm simultaneously holding this love for her and this grief that she will never be this version of her again. Oh. I love her so much. It's fucking wild. It is fucking wild, and I am so grateful to have her, and I am so grateful for the lessons of motherhood. And I'm also really grateful for the mothers who are in the same season as me right now, and have walked this path before me, that are holding me and witnessing me in this, because I had no idea that it would feel like this. I had no idea that it could feel like this. But I'm so grateful that it does. And, you know, I shared my grief in the Inner Mastery call, and so many women just immediately resonated with me, which felt so beautiful and so supportive, and just there's so much solidarity. I also shared a reel on Instagram as well, and I'm getting so much beautiful love and support and feedback from other mothers and other women on sharing my grief and holding my grief and feeling it. So what it came down to yesterday was, my grief has a seat at the table, because I already know my sadness, my tears have a seat at the table. My anger has a seat at the table. My rage has a seat at the table. My neutrality has a seat at the table. My joy has a seat at the table. My excitement has a seat at the table. My peace, my calm has a seat at the table, but I did not yet have a seat reserved for my grief. And so what I did to anchor in to this new way of being is I visualized myself opening the door to my grief, guiding it into my home, pulling out a chair for it and letting it sit down, and have a seat at the table. And that felt so good. And like, man, my Healy was trying to tell me this for weeks. It was trying to tell me for weeks. And I just didn't understand. But my faith in this little device, it's beside me. Oh, no, wait. No, it's not. I thought it was beside me right now. My faith in this little device has just grown exponentially. And I'm going to continue as I do. I'm a storyteller. I share my stories. So I'm going to continue sharing my stories with my experience with Healy. But one thing that I'm not going to be doing is trying to explain the science and the how behind it. I'm like, I'm messily figuring out how this thing works. And what I will have to share is my experiences and my stories, but I'm not your go-to gal for asking questions for how it works and why it works. I don't know. I surrender to the mystery. I let the mystery be a mystery because I don't need to know. All I know is that it works. So yeah. My baby's crying, so I am going to, finish up this podcast. We've been going for 1,153, 54, 55 seconds. I don't know how long it's been going for, but I'm going to close this off by, thanking you for witnessing me as always and letting you know that if you are interested in Healy, I have decided to, start sharing my distributor or referral link, not quite affiliate link, referral link, kind of the same thing, I think. I have decided to start sharing that. But again, like, I ain't your go-to gal for questions. There's so much info out there. Maybe I will search and find some, but probably not. Google is great. YouTube is great. So anyways, if you are interested, go take a look, click through my affiliate or my referral link and, see what it's all about. But anyways, baby cries. Mama is being summoned. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. I love you. I am so, so, so grateful.